This is Biotechnica, and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica.
Our world is a stage of illusion, and we just hallucinate in this stage. But amidst this is the only reality we have, and that is the most alluring gift, our nature. This is Priyanjana Ghosh, and with a refreshing session, welcome you all once again to the Biotechnica podcast, Voice of Biotechnica. Yes, friends, you just guessed it right. Today's podcast is gonna be real interesting, as I'll tell you about some real facts, about some real places that actually exist on this Mother Earth. So let's take a ride to all of these 10 places, okay? So we'll start with the first place or first destination, and that is Devil's Kettle. Oh my God. So let's see that where is this place located. So basically, Devil's Kettle is located on the north shore of Lake Superior in Minnesota that lies Judge Sierre Magne State Park. And it was named for the former mayor of Duluth Park, which is the best known as the location of Devil's Kettle. Now, it is a strange waterfall. Okay, so this strange waterfall, or why it is said so that it is a strange waterfall, because it splits into two due to the rock formations, which cause half of the Brule River to continue on and the other half disappears into a pothole. So, you know, several scientists have undergone several experiments using dyes, using ping pong balls, as you can see. So, just to find out that where actually the waterfall is going to after getting divided. So, that is the thing. Researchers have reconnected what I told you is dyes, ping pong balls, many other objects, but they all disappeared. There were no traces of reappearance. So since there is no way to determine the channels, the water may pass, it's an assumption, through it has been deemed too risky for people to explore. Okay, so this is a very unusual places out of this 10. Now next place or next destination is Kawah Ijen. Now, Kawah Ijen is in Indonesia. It's a sulfur mine which was built in the side of a volcano, but there's no danger of eruption. Now, the volcano itself is dormant, but at night, a neon blue substance spills down its side, flowing like a river of lava. Oh my God. This phenomena is caused by the sulfur being mined from within the volcano. And what happens is the heat causes the sulfur gas trapped inside to build up and escape, causing the blue flames to shoot up to 5 meters into the air. Such a strange incident, no? The gas then semi-solidifies into a liquid form and it flows down the mountain. So once it hardens, it is mined by the workers. And what happens to the sulfur? So the sulfur in the air is toxic, and gas masks need to be worn to remain safe. But many workers cannot afford them and they use wet clothes instead, and which had made their lives much more fatal towards this. So isn't it another interesting place? Or an impossible place to visit? Yes, I guess it's so. Now, so moving to our third destination. Now, this destination will be called as Hesdalen Lights. Yes, it's Hesdalen Lights. Now, what is the story background this particular place? Now, it is somewhere in the rural central of Norway, over the Hesdalen Valley. So basically, the name Hesdalen has come from the name of a valley situated in Norway. So this particular place, that is the central of Norway over the Hesdalen Valley, some floating lights of white, yellow, and red, they cross the night sky. Wow! I can just visualize that. And those are known as Hazeldallen lights, which they appear at when it's dark completely and can last anywhere from a few seconds to longer than an hour. So the lights sometimes move at an incredible speed and slowly some other times also, seeming to float in the midair. So because of this speed, no? The speed is not at all uniform for these lights. They're somewhere slow, they're somewhere faster. So it seems that they're moving or they're floating slowly. So since at least the early 1930s, people have spotted the lights and hypothesized what could be causing them. So it is believed, or we can say that some researchers believed, that they may be caused ionized iron dust, but tests have not been conclusive till date. Okay, so researchers, a lot of researchers I would say, are going on this project, which is a very costly project also, and let's see what comes out of it. Okay friends, yes, so let's take the ride to our next destination, which is Lake Karachi. Okay, these places, see, their characteristics, their impossibilities are so uncertain, and even their names, have you seen this? Their names are also very, very weird, like their strange characteristics. Okay, so let's see what is in store for Lake Karachi. So during the Cold War, the USSR was desperately working to catch up to the United States in an arms race for nuclear weapons. And one of these factories was located in the southern Ural Mountains of Western Russia, on the banks of Lake Karachi. So Lake Karachi is or was in Russia. So while the Mayak facility was still running, they would dump the radioactive material and the waste directly into the water. So see, so we are actually making these impossibilities, no? So basically Lake Karachi was a ground, or a dumping ground rather, for radioactive materials and wastes. And one incident happened in the year 1957. There was a dreadful accident that caused one of the nuclear waste storage tanks to explode, causing radioactive particles to travel over 9,000 square miles. This is really incredible. Then, just 10 years after that, that is, in about 1967, there was a drought which caused the lake to dry up and spread radioactive dust via wind power over 900 square miles. And today, most of the lake is covered by concrete, but the most important thing is the area is still so toxic that simply standing near it only, just imagine, you're standing near Lake Karachi and just within an hour, it can kill someone. Oh my God. So whoever going unknowingly to this place and he or she is ready to take a snapshot by standing in front of Lake Karachi, my God, might be very fatal to him. Okay. Oh, so let's go to the next, and it's the most famous one, I guess. So everybody must have known about this place, and that is none other than Bermuda Triangle. Okay, so in this Biotechnica podcast also we had a session over this Bermuda Triangle even, right? So located in the western part of the North Atlantic Ocean, the Bermuda Triangle is a loosely defined triangle between Bermuda, Florida, and Puerto Rico. So according to the US Navy, there is no such thing as the Bermuda Triangle. Okay, So it has been decoded. The mystery has been decoded by a group of scientists, and it's a real invention, I must say. But they cannot explain why aircrafts and ships have disappeared in the region in the past. So while many ships frequently pass through, I have discussed earlier in this the same session of the Bermuda Triangle regarding the rogue waves. Okay, so that is making basically the ships gone down, the cracks going down, okay, and they basically get disappeared. So there are some, or it's some belief that the disappearances are basically tied to the lost city of Atlantis. Okay, it's a myth. So which they believe that lies deep beneath the tropical cyclone reach area. And others believe that magnetic anomalies may also confuse the compass in the area, causing the cracks to become lost. So yes, Bermuda Triangle forms or becomes the most, or one of the most impossible scientific places in this world. Okay, moving to our next destination is Doubletree. Oh my god. So what is this Doubletree about? So between the towns of Grana and Casorzo in Piemonte, Italy, there is a rather unusual sight. On the side of the road, fenced off due to its uniqueness, is a large mulberry tree with a cherry tree growing through the center of it. My goodness, what our nature has store for us, really. While parasitic growths of trees caused by birds dropping seeds have happened before, they tend to be quite small before dying and being expelled from the host tree. The unusual thing about these trees is that they are both perfectly healthy and have branches that expand over 5 meters across. And that is how basically it has become known as the Doubletree of Casorzo, and it has survived for quite some time in its certain state. Okay. So one after the other, we are just exploring amazing places of the world which were still unknown to us, correct? And for these, we should must have once a visit to these places. Okay. So the next place or next destination in our bag is Boiling River. Oh God. So deep in the Amazon, there is a 4-mile-long river that kills. The Shanay Timshika gets as hot. That is the name of the river basically. Okay, so don't get confused. The Shanay Timshika gets as hot as 196 Fahrenheit. And what is it equivalent to the degree Celsius? 91.1 degree centigrade. And it boils anything that enters that water alive. Definitely 91.9 degree, my God. So usually for a river to reach this temperature, it must be in close proximity to a volcano, correct? But the nearest one is nearly 700 kilometers away. Like animals have been observed falling into the water and being cooked from the inside out as they struggle to safety. And basically the scientists believe that there may be a fault line beneath the earth that causes the phenomena, but they have to yet to prove this theory. See, for all these places till now which we were discussing, which we were gossiping, so none of these places or these mysteries have not been decoded yet. Still, the researches are going on and on. So amazing nature, no? Amazing. What creations it has for us. So the next destination in queue is the petrifying wall. So in North Yorkshire, England, one of the UK's oldest pay-to-enter tourist attractions on the banks of Nidd River. So once believed to be cursed by the devil or a witch, and this cave near the town of Knaresborough seems like something from the mind of H.P. Lovecraft. So the cave's entrance mildly resembles a skull. My God. The strangest thing, basically, is that anything the water of the cave touches, it turns to stone. And items left near the cave seem to magically turn to stone in amazingly little time. So scientists have found an unusually high mineral content in the waters of the cave. And basically this explains why the items develop a hard shell, and much like a stalactite forming, but they cannot explain how it happens so quickly. Amazing. So while stalactites and stalagmites can take centuries to form, the petrification of these items only take weeks or sometimes months, depending on the size of the item. It's really beautiful, really amazing. Okay. Now, right into our next place is the underwater park. So what is this underwater park? So it is near the Hotsquad Mountains in Austria. And there's a beautiful park with the benches and walking trails that can be explored in the midsummer and autumn even. So then the park and town of Tragos become buried in snow during the icy winters. And comes the spring. So there is so much snow melting from the mountains and even the surrounding areas that the park becomes completely submerged, because the nearby Gruner Sea overflows. So the drivers can then explore the underwater world, where bridges and benches, everything, like benches of the home of the trout and even some of the alpine flowers will begin to bloom there. And the waters of the lake begin to recede around the midsummer time, when the park becomes basically accessible once more. Okay. So really interesting. Now next, and this should be our last destination. Okay. So this, we will be call it as never ending lightning storms. Wow. So anyone that's afraid of thunderstorms, I guess we all are afraid of thunderstorms. So anyone that's afraid of thunderstorms definitely would want to avoid Western Venezuela. So you can very well make out that this particular phenomena take place in this particular place, Venezuela. So over the Catatumbo River, lightning storms begin nearly every night from 7 o'clock at night until near dawn. And it can occur more than 260 nights out of the year as lightning streaks across the sky over the water. There is a period of 6 weeks also in 2010 that went by without storms, causing scientists to wonder that if it would return or not. But the storms returned following the hiatus and continue to rage despite scientists being unable to determine the cause. Another interesting project, or rather another interesting place, or rather another interesting gift of nature. So it was once believed that the uranium in the bedrock may have contributed to the storms. but this was later disregarded as an unlikely theory. So still we can say that we have not yet decoded the actual reason for this never-ending lightning storms. So that's all about these 10 amazing, impossible scientifically places that really exist in this world. So I guess I actually managed to give you a free ride to all of these places, what say? So it's time for bidding a goodbye, and please share your valuable views with us, and also let us know that if you have been to any such places, we will be waiting for your answers. So thank you for listening Biotechnica podcast, and keep listening. Thank you very much.